Support for WPR comes from WIPS with Toward One Wisconsin, a conference on equity, diversity, and inclusion, May 7th and 8th in Eau Claire. Registration information and more is at t1w.org.
Support for WPR comes from the Stevens Point area, offering a variety of getaway experiences, itineraries, and ideas for beer lovers, foodies, outdoor recreation fans, and more are at StevensPointArea.com.
It's Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. You're with us on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Coming up on Central Time, we'll talk to a guest about his journey out of radical Islamism.
But first, Wisconsin state lawmakers are in session today and considering a handful of new bills covering topics from public employee contracts to heroin abuse. We'll find out what's on the table and what's yet to come for the state legislature in 2014 with Sean Johnson, state capitol reporter for WPR News. Sean, welcome back.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So the state assembly is taking up a handful of bills related to heroin addiction, most of them written by Republican Representative John Nygren, whose daughter has struggled with heroin addiction. What would those bills accomplish?
Yeah, and I can tell you now that those bills have passed. They've all passed on 96-0 votes, which is pretty rare to see that level of bipartisanship in the assembly. These bills would do a few things. One of them would keep people immune from criminal prosecution for drug possession if they bring someone to an emergency room who's overdosed, or if they call 911 because they believe that the person was suffering from an overdose. This does not cover drug dealers or drug houses, so if they were to call about someone having overdosed, they would not be immune from prosecution. But if somebody is with someone who's overdosed and they're carrying drugs, they are immune. Another bill would equip first responders, ambulances, with a drug called naloxone, known by the brand name Narcan, that can counteract the effects of a heroin overdose. Another would let communities set up programs to dispose of prescription drugs and illegal drugs. And another would require people picking up prescriptions that are known to have high potential for abuse to show an ID when they pick them up. And that's just to track where these drugs are going, wouldn't restrict those drugs in any way.
So a couple of bills getting the green light on the first day of the new session. How unusual is that?
It's fairly unusual to see everybody on the same page like this. But this is one of those issues that, just the way that it's worked through the system, it's been pretty inclusive. And, it sounds cliche, but, this is not an issue where, if you know anyone or... I guess one of the sponsors said that if you know anyone or who has been affected by an overdose, you don't care if they're Republican or Democrat. They don't care if they're Republican or Democrat. And this is an issue, as documented by WPR News, that is spreading throughout the state. Doesn't really matter whether it's rural or urban areas anymore. So it's touching more and more people. And so you saw this broad bipartisan support.
And moving on, there are five labor contracts coming up before the Senate and the Assembly in the form of legislative bills. What can you tell us about these contracts?
I can tell you that they cover a relatively small number of people, especially compared to the way these labor contracts used to work before Act 10. In the past, it would be unions that sort of set the table for the rest of state government's employees. So the unions, whose numbers were much larger back then, would go to the bargaining table with the state. They would hash out a deal. And while non-union employees' bargaining agreement or their terms of employment wouldn't end up being exactly the same as union workers, those union workers would sort of set the table. This session, it's gone in reverse. You had 69,000 non-union workers get 1% raises last year. And you had five smaller bargaining units covering just about 2,400 people, much smaller, just now getting approval by the state legislature for those 1% raises. And those are going to be retroactive to last year, so they're not going to miss out on those raises just because they've taken longer. But it just shows you how much different things are in state government in terms of the way it's run under Act 10.
And in terms of how Wisconsin is responding to the Affordable Care Act and Medicaid, the legislature is looking at tweaks to Medicaid. What's the story there? What are they looking at?
This is something that you're seeing in Wisconsin that you're not seeing in other states, and it's because of sort of the unusual hybrid that Governor Walker chose when it came to dealing with the Affordable Care Act and Badger Care, whereas most states decided to take federal money to expand Badger Care or at least keep their current systems intact. Governor Walker had a system that made pretty big changes, said that it was that the state was going to spend more money covering all people, whether they're parents or whether they're childless adults, below the poverty level, that the, that all those people were going to be covered. But at the same time, in Wisconsin, Governor Walker's plan was going to shift parents above the poverty level off of Badger Care and onto the federal health insurance marketplace. Because that marketplace has taken a while to get going, the state extended the deadline for when they'd have to essentially be kicked off of Badger Care from January 1 to April 1. What the legislature is doing today is basically putting the final stamp on an agreement between the state and the federal government over how that's going to work. And, you know, it can get pretty complicated when you get into dates and eligibility and everything like that. But basically what it means is for those parents who want to stay on Badger Care a little bit longer and fall in that income level, they have to be signed up by February 1st.
So that's coming up pretty quickly.
Coming up pretty quick. And if you look at the estimates from the state, this change could mean a few thousand more people are basically pushed off of Badger Care in the months of February and March.
There was also news today that Representative Joel Klefisch said he's withdrawing his controversial bill, which would have capped how much wealthy Wisconsin residents have to pay in child support. That had been pretty avidly contested on both sides. What happened?
Yeah, this is something that really came to light through reporting from the Wisconsin State Journal in Madison and the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. And this bill would have exempted parents' salaries above $150,000 from being counted when it comes to calculating child support payments. And then it was revealed through that reporting that the bill was drafted in large part by a very wealthy Wisconsin resident who stood to benefit from it. In other words, would have seen his child support payments greatly decreased because of this legislation. You know, that caused quite a storm, and up until this morning, it looked like there was going to be a public hearing on that bill tomorrow. But this morning, Representative Klefisch said that he was withdrawing the bill, and Speaker Robin Voss told reporters he thought it was a good move, but that the underlying issues are something that the legislature might want to take up another time, but he said it'd probably be next session.
Now, speaking of the first day of the new session, Sean, what was the mood today in the legislature? Was it like the first day back at school?
You know, not exactly. Wisconsin's legislature, when they go out of session, even when they go out of session, they're still, you know, hanging around here in committees. Session starts up and it stops. It's unlike other states where, you know, they're in and then they're gone for a long time. In Wisconsin, for about you know, a year, and then the first few months of the even-numbered years, they're in and out. So these guys have seen each other quite a bit. It won't be until you know, really April, when they go home for good for the rest of the year and campaign season begins in earnest, and then you can, you know, draw the school comparisons.
Okay. Well, what issues can we expect to come before the state legislature in the coming weeks? What are you tracking?
I think a big question mark is new revenue estimates that the state's going to likely receive, and what are those going to show? You know, when the state gets new revenue estimates, whether they're good or bad, you know, better or worse than expected, that can really change lawmakers' plans in terms of their agendas. And so the thinking among Republicans is that revenue estimates for Wisconsin are going to show that the state is projected to bring in more money than it was planning on. So when the state gets more money, there are immediately plans for what to do with it. And so Republicans are going to be faced with that question. If indeed there are revenue estimates that show Wisconsin's doing better than expected, how do they handle that? Some Republicans have called for a sales tax holiday. Some have been talking about maybe short-term infrastructure projects. Some have been talking about changes to the alternative minimum tax. And, you know, so you've got all these pent-up demands for this money that we don't even know if the state's going to get yet. That's kind of the big unknown at this point. But there are a lot of other little bills that, you know, they may just languish at this point from the looks of it. And just for example, there's this bill that passed the Assembly last year that would raise the speed limit to 70 miles per hour. And the Senate's just right. said, we're not going to take that up. You know, there are quite a few that have come out of the Assembly along those lines. And so,
all right, so a lot to keep an eye on. We're going to have to right. leave it there. But Sean, thank you so much for joining us today.
All right, thank you.
Sean Johnson, State Capitol reporter for WPR News.
Up next, we'll hear from a guest about his journey out of Islamist extremism. But first, Noah Ovshinsky joins us with these headlines.